Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way. Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way to success in this life and a brighter day. To success in this life and a brighter day.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Success in the Holy Quran And continuing off from our last episode we'll be speaking about the importance of our character, our conduct, and our behavior in times of difficulty, how we should show patience. And in this episode, we'll cover how we should forgive people and overlook anything that they have done so that we can avoid stressing, worrying, overthinking about problems in our lives. First of all, let's listen to an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, that the one who recites Durood Sharif upon me, once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, difficulties do occur in our lives, stresses do occur, worries do occur, but we can minimize the effects of those stressful situations. We can ensure that the effect of that stress is not long-lasting, that we're not affected by it too much. That's within our control, how we think, how we face something, how we tackle something. And everyone's different in this regard. Some people, they have so much mental toughness, and mental toughness can be worked upon, improved, and developed. And nowadays, there are so many studies to prove this. But sometimes people naturally have this mental toughness where they will go through the most difficult of situations, yet the outside world will not even know. People would think that this person is going through the most ease in life, that everything's set for him. He has it easy. But in reality, he's going through a lot. Why is that the case? Because he does not show that to people in his speech, in his conduct, in his behavior, in his mu'amalat, his transaction with people. He doesn't show that. The only person he asks for relief from is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the way we should be. Whereas on the other hand, there are some people who perhaps they don't have that same level of mental toughness, that willpower, that determination. And as a result, even when small difficulties enter their life, they magnify those difficulties. And again, that could be due to various reasons. One is simply because they think that it's a bigger calamity than it is. And two, they may have external influences or people around them who are giving them the wrong advice. And that person is leading to the grief-stricken person magnifying a problem. So that person will say, if I was you, I wouldn't let that go. If I was you, I would deal with that person. How dare they do that? They had the audacity to say this about you or do this regarding that particular situation. If I was you, I wouldn't let them off lightly. That's a massive thing that they've done. That's so daring. That's audacious. So the wrong people are advising a person. And before you know it, this person thinks, oh, that's it. It's the end of the world. How did that person do this with me? And the examples are daily examples even. Examples that I'm about to give, they are examples that occur in our daily lives, with our loved ones, with our work colleagues, with our acquaintances, people we meet outside. For example, in the home, if a person finds that their child is not listening to what they say, a young child, then obviously you try and advise them again. You use a different way. You try to make them understand the error of their ways. But if they don't listen, what are you going to do? You're going to shout at them at the top of your lungs? Are you going to rebuke them until they begin to cry? When people do this, unfortunately, this is not the way to deal with such problems in our lives. You do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, make my children pious, make them understanding, make them mature. But you also leave room for mishaps. That you know certain things will happen. So a child may very well end up breaking a glass, or a utensil, or an ornament even, or something might happen. You overlook that fault. Why? Because they're children. They didn't do it deliberately, it was a mistake. Adults make mistakes, kids are kids. So we need to be tolerant even within our own homes. If we react aggressively in a way that displeases others, then there'll be a war zone at home. Imagine if a parent says something to their adult child or a teenage child. He's going through hormonal changes. He's in the phase of his life where he doesn't want anyone speaking to him like that or her like that. So instead of resolving the matter, the parents are shouting at the child begins to shout back. And the parent becomes even more angry. That number one, you've caused this. And secondly, you're speaking back to me. And then before you know it, things have escalated. The full-on battle at home. Allahu Akbar. This will not lead to a pleasant environment at home. So, it's good to have boundaries. It's good to mention to people that certain things will incur the anger of another person. But even if it does happen, worst case scenario, that does not mean that we have a license to lash out, to abuse anyone or anything of the sort. This is not the teachings of Islam. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, and he spent 10 years in the service of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was very young when he initially was blessed to be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that in that 10-year period, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said uff to me once. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفْ وَلِمَا صَنَعَتَ, and why did you do so and so thing? وَلَا أَلَّا صَنَعَتَ, why did you not do so and so thing? Allahu Akbar, 10 years, that's not a small amount of time. Someone could spend 10 minutes with us and he leaves with a bad experience. Spend 1 hour with us, a day with us, and they're scarred for life. Allahu Akbar, they're traumatized. That's our level today. And look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 10 years someone has spent in his company and the person was never rebuked. This is the prophetic character, the prophetic way that we need to adopt in our life. Similarly, we are human beings, we interact with people. When we interact with siblings, family members, relatives, again, we have to be mindful of the fact that Shaytan, the accursed, he does not want us to get along with our family members. Islam places great emphasis on silatul rahim, maintaining, joining and mending familial ties. Shaytan doesn't want that. Shaitan wants us to sever ties, to cut ties, to fall out. You may visit your family members on the occasion of Eid or any other function. And before you know it, Shaitan has placed in your mind that so-and-so doesn't like me. He looked at me like this. Or she looked at me like this. They made this comment. Why did they have to make that comment? They spoke like this regarding my child. They did this, they did that. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Before you know it, the matter was small. It's been blown out of proportion. It's been magnified. And now people have severed ties for life. But no, that person disrespected me. I hate people like that. I don't like people like that. We're better off being away from people like that. Whereas this is a relation that Islam has told you to maintain because it's a family member. It's a relative. But Shaitan will do what he has to do. And we succumb to the tricks of Shaitan. We fall prey to them. But what does the Quran teach us? The Quran tells us, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. The Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're told to forgive others. And this particular verse of the Quran, it was directed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Prophet, alayhi salam, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, adopt forgiveness. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, command goodness. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and turn away from the ignorant ones. Now here, one thing that needs to be clarified is that when mentioning these verses and the context we are mentioning them in, we're not for 1 minute saying that if you're being oppressed, if you're being wronged, then you don't speak up. You don't fight for your right. That's a different matter. That's a different discussion. If someone is genuinely being oppressed, dhulm is being committed. We know that dhulm will be darkness on the Day of Judgment. We know the hadith that if someone can help the oppressed but doesn't, then that person will also bear the burden of sin because he is in a position to remove that oppression but chooses not to. Then dhulm is something else. Dhulm is something that you are allowed to speak upon. Dhulm is something that you are allowed to take forward and fight for your right. We're talking about those scenarios, those situations where something can be avoided. And it's only become an issue because we've made it an issue. Like we don't have any device or gadget or tool whereby we can identify the thoughts of a person. But because of a certain way they spoke or certain gesture they made or anything, that's it, we've made a conclusion now. We've come to a conclusion. We've formed an opinion now. That's it, this person is evil. This person is like this. This person is like that. This person can never change. Allahu Akbar, who are we to say that? We're humans, we make mistakes. But is the door to change shut forever? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the fortunes of a person. Allah can change a bad-charactered person into a good-charactered person. Allah ta'ala can change people throughout history. We know of great awliyaullah rahimahumullahu ta'ala who in their previous life, meaning they lived a life of sin. Someone was an alcoholic, someone was a highway robber, someone was involved in another sin. But when their sleeping fortune awoke, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined for them to change, how did Allah change them, subhanallah? They went from the lowest of low to the highest of highs. They were granted the maqam of Siddiq, highest ranking awliya. They were granted the maqam of elite awliya. So, we should never think like that regarding our fellow believers. And if we feel uncomfortable, then, okay, don't engage too much. But still, you have to keep up those appearances. Because Islam wants you to. Islam orders you to. You still have to meet your relatives. You still have to meet your parents. You still have to meet your siblings. And based on an event or an incident, you can't cut off ties. It's not as simple as that. Yes, there are some instances where you're allowed to, but they are extreme cases. They are cases where you're genuinely being harmed by that person. You, your loved ones, your family members. And there's clear proof of that. Secondly, when that person is a deviant, who has heretical beliefs, and they will misguide you if you stay in their company. These are certain cases. Mostly in our society, in our communities, in our families, these cases are not even found. And over small, trivial matters, people form bad opinions, bad assumptions of others. They cut off ties. And they're sinful for this. But going back to it, forgiving. This is something that we need to adopt. This is something that we need to develop. Forgiving others. Why? Because we want Allah to forgive us on the Day of Judgment. Keeping that in mind. We want Allah to show us mercy on the Day of Judgment. We should show mercy to others on the earth. We should forgive others on the earth. And the ulama have explained that al-afu kaffu al-darari ma'al qudrati alayh. That forgiveness is not retaliating when you can retaliate and instead forgiving someone. You're in a position now to take revenge, but you choose not to. And instead you choose to forgive them. And remember, when you forgive others, if that person has iman in their heart, sooner or later they will realize that, look, we did wrong with that person. That person still forgave us. Allahu Akbar. Whenever you show the beauty of Islam in your character, there will definitely be positive effects of that. That will have a positive effect. Whether it happens instantly or after a while, inshallah, the beauty of that quality that you exhibited will be manifested, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةِ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةِ. Good and evil are not the same. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Something bad happens to you, someone does something bad to you, your reaction, your reply should be with that which is better. Better than that evil. So if you're going to say, oh, it's tit for tat, give as much as you received, how are things going to work? So in Tafsir, Khazainul Irfan, Sadr al-Afadil Mawlana Mufti Naimuddin Murad Abadi rahimahullah ta'ala states that reply with goodness of character, reply with gentleness. Your reply should be full of tolerance and forbearance as well. And this is how you should forgive those who have wronged you. Show them mercy. This is what the Quran is teaching us. And if we don't follow this and we say, no, I'm going to give that person a taste of their own medicine. I'm going to make them bow on their knees and seek forgiveness from me. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. My name is not so, such and such if I don't make them come crawling to me. Allahu Akbar. These things are said in our society. And when a person says this, he forgets that above him, meaning above his own zat, is the greatest zat of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can in an instant make someone face the repercussions of their actions. Allah ta'ala can diminish someone. Allah ta'ala can lower someone. Allah ta'ala can punish someone. So why are we showing this arrogance? Why are we showing this anger? Especially in a situation where we haven't even got full clarification, as it happens in our societies. That we haven't clarified with the person we have an issue with. We agree to the rumors that are being spread, hearsay, people spreading lies. We believe that like it's some revelation, ma'adallah, and we don't even clarify with the person as to what he said or what happened or if there's a way to resolve this. But no, we've become such a community who are argumentative, quarrelsome, who are almost always ready to fight, who thrive in these situations when it comes to fighting and arguing and swearing and rebuking others. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is not good. This is not good. This is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgiveness, reconciliation, these are things that we should adopt when affliction strikes us, when we're hurt by other people, when something happens in our lives. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when his beloved uncle, Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu, Asadullah, when he was martyred and he was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine what the Prophet alaihi wasallam had to go through at that time. Imagine the pain, the immense pain he was feeling in his heart. But when Wahshi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he sought forgiveness sincerely, the Prophet alaihi wasallam forgave him. Sayyiduna Wahshi radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, became a Sahabi. And on the day where he sent Musaylimah Kazzab to Jahannam, hellfire, he said, there was a time when I took the life of the best of people, meaning Sayyidina Amin Hamza radiallahu anhu, and today I have killed the worst of people. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave Sayyidina Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala. On the day of the conquest of Makkah, when the kuffar, the disbelievers, those who had enmity with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who made life very hard for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were lined up in front of him, and he could take revenge against them. He forgave them, and they even gave the khutbah that you are a noble person, son of a noble person. They knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beautiful character traits. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm." Today I will say what my brother Yusuf alaihi wasallam said, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm." There's no rebuke upon you this day. There's no harm upon you this day. So this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is our way? The opposite. You say to people, my way or the highway. Allahu Akbar, no. It's the only way is the Islamic way. The only way is the Quranic way. The only way is the prophetic way. That's what we need to embed in our mind. That is the way that we are going to do things. And that is the way we are going to become successful. Yes, problems will occur. Yes, unsavory things will happen. Yes, situations will occur which we are uncomfortable within our lives. But how we deal with them will define us. If we forgive people, if we're someone who overlooks people's faults, then inshallah on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook our faults as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us entry into Jannah without accountability, inshallah. So this episode, we discussed the importance of facing problems, masail in our lives in ways that lead to goodness for all parties involved. In particular, when it's our own family members, our fellow Muslims, our loved ones, that we should minimize this risk of things coming out of hand, getting out of hand, becoming magnified and being blown out of proportion. Forgiveness is also a way that we deal with calamitous situations. We show patience by forgiving others. When we forgive others, then the Quran says that that person will become like a best friend to you. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌ حَمِيمٌ. So that person and you, who there was difficulty between, who there was a quarrel between and dispute between, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌ حَمِيمٌ. That person will be like a very close friend to you. This is what the Quran is telling us. So there is khair in following the advice of the Quran. If you follow our own whims and desires, our own nafs, our own ego, nafs ammara and the shaitan with us, then we will surely face destruction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to implement the prophetic way in our lives. Ameen, bi jahi nabi, ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way. Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way to success in this life and a brighter day. To success in this life and a brighter day.